Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 24. So you just do English, no translation, right? Just English. Okay. Because there's nobody translated into Hindi while I sit here. Okay. Okay. Separate Hindi class. Okay. Okay. So we're reading from Text 24, chapters entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. Deva Linga Prati Chanaha Sarbanur Deva Samsadi Pravishta Somamapi Bach Chandra Kabyam Chasuchita. Word meanings. Devalinga Pratichanaha. Covering himself with the dress of a demigod. Svarbanahu Rahu, who attacks and eclipses the sun and moon. Deva Samsadi, in the group of the demigods. Pravishtaha, having entered. Somam, the nectar. Apibat, drank. Chandra Arkabhyam, by both the moon and the sun. Cha, and Suchitaha, was pointed out. Translation: Rahu, the demon who causes eclipses of the sun and moon, covered himself with the dress of a demigod, and thus entered the assembly of the demigods and drank nectar without being detected by anyone, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon and the sun, however, because of permanent animosity toward Rahu, understood the situation. Thus, Rahu was detected. Please repeat. Rahu, the demon who causes eclipses of the sun and moon, covered himself with the dress of a demigod, and thus entered the assembly of the demigods and drank nectar without being detected by anyone, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon and the sun, however, because of permanent animosity toward Rahu, understood the situation. Thus Rahu was detected. Purport: by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, was able to bewilder all the demons. But Rahu was so clever that he was not bewildered. Rahu could understand that Mohini Murti was cheating the demons, and therefore he changed his dress, disguised himself as a demigod, and sat down in the assembly of the demigods. Here one may ask why the Supreme Personality of Godhead could not detect Rahu. The reason is that the Lord wanted to show the effects of drinking nectar. This will be revealed in the following verses. The moon and the sun, however, were always alert in regard to Rahu. Thus, when Rahu entered the assembly of the demigods, the moon and the sun immediately detected him. The moon and the sun immediately detected him, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead also became aware of him. Omiganatame andasha janat anjana shalakaya chakshu omnitamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. My name is Anuta Madas. I'm based in Washington, D.C. And I try to serve all of you and Srila Prabhupada as a member of the GBC and the communications director. And I'm very pleased to be here in Vrindavan Dham. And I'd like to thank the powers that be for allowing me to speak. Especially in this place, I feel very unqualified to speak. But I was thinking that my only qualification to speak actually began in this very room, in this temple over there in 1976, when I was able to accept Srila Prabhupada as my Diksha Guru, and he graciously accepted me as his disciple. So only because of that, by his grace and his instructions and his order, should I ever sit here and try to speak, but I'll try to do so to share some thoughts. So my first thought actually on this is that all of us should speak, should preach. Word we like to use a lot, preach. It's not so popular in the West. I don't recommend it out in the West. But to teach, to speak, to set an example, to benefit others as best we can, we all should do that. Being a follower of Srila Prabhupada or a Rupa Nuga, by his request, by his order, by Lord Chaitanya's request and Lord Chaitanya's order, and by Lord Krishna's desire and request and by his order, we all should try to speak, preach, teach, give an example of Krishna consciousness as best we can. Just this morning there was a short reading. I didn't hear the whole description, but I believe it was from a morning conversation, something dated. You always read from the same day? So January 4th, I think it was in Mumbai. I didn't hear the year, maybe 73. Prabhupada said that a Vaishnava should love everyone. That was the reading this morning, part of it, an essential point. And that's an order from Prabhupada. He's saying it. A Vaishnava should. So we're trying to be Vaishnavas. So when we hear these types of instructions, we should think, oh, so that applies to me too. I should love everyone. So what does that mean when Prabhupada says like that? What does that mean to love everyone? And we see in this world, in the modern age, at least in, I don't know what past ages were like, but at least in my lifetime, we see the word love is used very cheaply. You know, people say, oh, I love this dress, or I love this car, I love my car, right? I even saw an ad recently. They had a picture of a car repair shop, and it had a picture of a lady like hugging the hood of her car. Oh, I'm so happy because of this car. So people say like that, or they advertise things. I love strawberry yogurt. Right, I love these things. Or people say, I love my dog. Or so many things. I love so many. So it's really thrown around cheaply, this word love. And of course, it's often mixed up with lust. You know, I lust after something. I love it. So as Vaishnavas, Prabhupada is telling us we should love everyone. So we should understand what does it mean to love everyone. And it's not just a feeling or some type of mundane desire as is used in the world at large. But as Prabhupada said, he would say it's not just a sentiment. So it's not just a sentiment. So if we love, or if we're learning to love, or if we're trying to love, or if we're trying to awaken our love, we're always hearing, we're trying to awaken our Krishna consciousness, awaken our love. That means that it's not a feeling, it's not a sentiment, but we have to act with love. So when Prabhupada says we should love everyone, it doesn't just mean have some feeling, oh, I love my car, I love yogurt, I love everyone, I love the whales, I love nature, I love everyone. But we have to act with love. Srila Prabhupada, we know well, he translated bhakti, not as devotion as many people do, but he translated devotional service. So again, it's not just devotion, it's not just the feeling, but there's an action with that, devotional service. So bhakti means that we act out of concern for others. Ultimately, of course, Krishna. But if you love Krishna, Prabhupada's telling us this quote this morning and throughout his books, if you love Krishna, you have to love his parts and parcels. Now, we may not be there yet. We're not there yet. But that's part of the instruction that's giving to us. And sometimes we know we may try to love Krishna, but we don't understand. Just like the deities are here, and they're so beautiful here. I think it's the deities here, they're like extra supremely beautiful deities here, and beautifully worshipped. And if we worship the deities, we have to also understand, why are the deities here? Why did Prabhupada install these deities? And it wasn't because Krishna, you know, in his transcendental existence needs, although beautiful flowers, beautiful peacock fans, beautiful decorations, he doesn't need any of that. It's not like Krishna had to manifest here in our temple because he's lacking something, but he manifests here to help us and help others make spiritual advancement. So if we're actually worshiping the deities, then we have to understand, we should remember why they're here. They're here so people can come here and have their darshan. You know, we've all experienced, probably, sometimes in our society, people are pushed away from darshan in the name of organizing the darshan. Sometimes, I know in other temples, I've seen many times, and I'm pretty tall, so it's easier for me. I can see the deities from the back, but, you know, sometimes maybe we've all had the experience of some very sincere, yet not as mature as he should be, overly zealous brahmachari, pushing through the crowd, pushing everybody else aside, and pushing all the ladies aside, and pushing everybody the other way, because there's someone he considers more advanced behind him. But if we're more advanced, then we understand my whole purpose of being here is to help these other people get closer to Krishna. So how can you push other people out of the way so I can get closer to Krishna? It's like, I'm going to push people away from Krishna so I can get closer to Krishna to help people get closer to Krishna. So, doesn't matter what we are. We can be a GBC, Prabhupada disciple, initiating guru, siksha guru, sannyasi, brahmachari, grahastha, it doesn't matter. Whatever our, quote, status may be, the higher status we have should mean the more we're realizing I'm a servant and the whole purpose of my service is to bring people closer to Krishna. Of course, to awaken love for Krishna myself. So Prabhupada says today, we heard, we should learn to love everyone. That means not just have some sentiment, some feeling, but to act out of a concern for others. In other words, to understand that I'm everyone's servant. I'm the servant of the deity. I'm the servant of our found acharya. I'm the servant of my guru. I'm a servant of the more senior devotees. I'm a servant of my peers. I'm a servant of other Vaishnavas. I'm a servant of other people. I'm a servant of fallen people. I'm a servant of other species of people. And not to think that I'm the master or the controller or the enjoyer, but again, I'm the servant. And therefore, I should act in that way. There's a story told by a Western teacher, prominent person. I actually had the good fortune of giving him a Bhagavad Gita a few years ago. And he tells one story of he was speaking at a seminar about relationships, and a man came up to him and said, I need some advice. I said, sure, how can I help? He said, you know, I'm having trouble in my marriage. I don't love my wife anymore. What should I do? And he said, well, you should love her. And the man was like a little surprised. He said, but you don't understand. See, I don't love her anymore. What should I do? He said, you should love her. He said, but I don't love her anymore. Then he said, then you should love her. He said, excuse me, I'm really confused. Can you explain that? He said, you're thinking love is a feeling. I don't feel any affection for my wife anymore. That's not love. You feel some sentiment. You know, like people say, again, I love yogurt, I love my dog. Sometimes a man sees a beautiful woman, oh, I love her. He hasn't even met her yet. Oh, I love her. But you're lusting over her, you desire her, you think you can exploit her. Or a young girl sees a quote-unquote cute guy, ooh, I love him. That's not love, that's just some emotion, some sentiment, some lust. So he was saying, if you don't love your wife, then love her again. Act out of love. Serve her, care for her, take care of her needs. That's what love means. Love means you may feel like some affection, you may not. Just like, you know, there's many ladies here, many of you may have been mothers, biologically been mothers. So to have a child, you know, one day the child looks really cute, the next day the child might not look so cute. One day your husband is like, whoa, such a nice, respectable person. Another day you may feel or you may think, oh, this is really tough living with this guy. But you still love him, you still serve him. Same thing, husband towards wife, God brothers with God brothers, God sisters with God sisters. So this is an instruction. I meant to take a picture so I could quote it, and I forgot on the way over here. But I looked through the window this morning of the administrative building. There's a beautiful quote there. Does everybody know the quote that's over there? No. You should all go to the administration building to read that quote. But I'll paraphrase it as best I can. Prabhupada says this. He ends by saying, this is my only concern. And then he explains that I worked very hard to create this institution. And he says, don't let it be undone by personal desire. He says, desire instead for the goal of others, to please Krishna, to please Guru. Paraphrasing. But it says, this is my concern. I worked so hard to create this institution. Don't let your selfish desire unravel the whole thing. Instead, you should desire to please Krishna. In other words, love Guru, love Krishna, and give ourselves to them. This is what it's a beautiful reference in the administration building. It fits all of us. So this is pure consciousness. This is transcendental consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. We're members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That means we should want to become Krishna conscious. We should want to act in Krishna consciousness. We're praying every day. Krishna engaged us in your service. So Prabhupada told us this morning, that means if we're becoming Krishna conscious, our love, our concern for, and our actions should be caring and concerned with everyone. So this is contrast. I looked back, read some of the earlier verses leading up to this. Prabhupada explains in the 38th verse what the non-devotee consciousness is. So we're trying to be devotees. So Prabhupada says, the first concern of a non-devotee, this is the kind of thing, we want to stop being like this. But here's the contrast, because sometimes if we know what the opposite is, it's easier for us to try to come to what we should do. So Prabhupada writes, a beautiful purport. The first concern of a non-devotee is how to enjoy his personal sense gratification at once, whereas the devotee's first concern is to satisfy the Lord. This is the distinction between the non-devotee and the devotee. In the material world, since most people are non-devotees, they regularly, so we should see, do we do this? This is what non-devotees do. Compete, fight, disagree. These are non-devotees. Devotees don't do these things. They don't compete, they don't fight, they don't disagree, and war among themselves. For everyone wants to enjoy and satisfy his own senses. Therefore, unless such demons become Krishna conscious and are trained to satisfy the senses of the Lord, there can be no question of peace in human society or any society, even that of the demigods. The demigods and devotees, however, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. Here the demigods want that nectar. While the demons fight to satisfy their own senses, devotees engage in devotional service to satisfy the senses of the Lord. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be alert in regard to this point, and then their preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement will be successful. So we have to be alert to understand the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness, non-devotee consciousness and pure consciousness. So here, it's been explained, the non-devotees, they think about their personal needs. So we can't artificially become free from thinking about our personal needs at the expense of others, but we should endeavor for that. In ISKCON Communications, I was just teaching a seminar in Delhi. We talk about learning to understand the needs, interests, and concerns of others. Generally, our mind's programmed to think about my needs, my senses, my mind. But we have to reprogram that. It's like a computer gets reprogrammed. We have to reprogram the way that we think by purifying our hearts, awakening our Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada mentions, he says, the non-devotees, they compete, they fight, they disagree, and they war. And as devotees, we also should be aware, just like Prabhupada came to New York and then around the world, very aware of his surroundings. Prabhupada said an intelligent person is aware of their surroundings. Sometimes we kind of walk around with tunnel vision. We don't have so much of an idea what's going on around us. We should be aware of what's going around us. And the bottom line is this world's going to hell. It's getting very, very hellish for a lot of people on the planet. There's always birth, death, old, and disease, but it's getting pretty bad. There's a lot of progress that could be used to help people live more comfortably. You know, they're making scientific advancement to help cure various diseases, and they're making different types of economic development to help people more comfortable, and that's fine, that's good. But if it doesn't ultimately help people connect with Krishna, if it doesn't ultimately help end with people competing and warring against each other through spiritual awakening, which is the only ultimate way to do that, then the progress is, it's ultimately, Prabhupada says sometimes very harshly, strongly, ultimately it's meaningless. Ultimately it's meaningless. So we see the world, and again, as devotees, we should be aware of this. There are more and more and more dictatorships coming up in the world. Like what's happening out there right now. There are more and more very selfish and lusty leaders coming into power around the world. There's more and more people making war upon each other, as Prabhupada describes that. amongst religions, religious people by nature should appreciate each other. You look at what Prabhupada said, so many nice things. Someone just sent me a letter recently. I hadn't seen her, I'd forgotten it. Prabhupada wrote to Pope, I think Paul the VI, don't remember the year, sometime late 70s. And he opened the letter. I can't remember the actual opening, but then he said, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. To the Pope. Now some of us might think, I remember a few years ago one of the popes passed away, and as the communications director, I wrote kind of a nice thing. Sorry he left, he did a lot of good things. I got letters from devotees saying, how can you say something nice about the Pope? He's not a Vaishnava. He doesn't follow all the regular principles. He doesn't chant 16 rounds a day. You know? Not everybody in this room chants 16 rounds a day. Look at our global movement. Sometimes people have a difficulty. Sometimes people go away for years and stop doing anything that's Krishna conscious, but they're still devotees. They're still connected to Krishna. They're still dear to Prabhupada. Most of the world doesn't follow the regulated principles. The vast majority. That doesn't mean Paramatma says, I'm checking out. Where does it say in the Shastra that Paramatma leaves anybody behind? If you cross this, other philosophies, other religious traditions, they have this idea. I don't know if it's their original idea, but sometimes they teach it. You reach a certain point of sinfulness, you finish this one life in sin. If you haven't accepted God, that's it, over, finished. They don't have all the details we have, but basically go to Kumbhipaka forever. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is Krishna loves you. There's other traditions that teach that. God loves you. That should be our mantra. It is our mantra. We understand more about Krishna's love than a lot of traditions because he loves us so much. It doesn't matter how fallen you are, he doesn't leave us. So if we're his servants, if we're walking around judging others, oh, she's not doing this. Oh, he didn't chant his rounds very good today. Oh, look at this person coming to the temple. They're not so important. How are they not important? I was recently visiting a temple. I was a little surprised. I live in America and very inspired by Vaisheshika Prabhu, who is teaching revitalization of book distribution for the past so many years, based on the first principle, leave everyone. What's the exact term? Anybody know what's his exact term? He says the first principle of book distribution is to leave everyone, I'm going to paraphrase, I think it's with a good impression. Now, when I was a new devotee, after I left here in 1976, I went back to the West. I was told, no matter what, leave them with a book. If they say no three times, if they say no once, try harder. If they say no twice, try it again. Excuse me, sir, do you like this book? No, thank you. Yeah, but you really need this book. That was two. No, thank you. Then you try a third time. Look, I said no, thank you. Okay? We were very enthusiastic, but not very smart. Because if somebody tries to sell me something for three times, I have to say no. What's my impression? These guys are just bothering me. As opposed to, please, sir, we'd love you to read this book. I'm really not interested. Well, it's such a nice thing. I'm really not interested. Okay, thank you anyway. Thank you for stopping. I hope you take it next time. That's the mood of love. If I'm seeing the whole goal is to raise my book score, then there's no love. It's push, 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 push. And we, you know, may they all forgive us. We pushed away so many people. I was on a big TV show a few years ago, too many years ago, probably before some of you were born, called Larry King Live, defending our book distribution, which I could do with earnestness because it's a glorious thing. But I had to acknowledge on public television, we've been a little overzealous in the past. But we're learning from that. And now all across the movement, our devotees are understanding the first thing is to leave people with a good impression. So I was recently at one of our larger temples and I was a little shocked because they were distributing books right after the morning program. And I saw this one man was kind of like cornered to like take a book and he was saying, no, thank you, I have that. Then it was like pushing harder, pushing harder. And I was thinking the mentality of the person selling him the book is, well, he has to get this book because he's not a devotee, or he, you know, without this, he's finished. But I was thinking, wait a minute, this man came to Mongol Arctic. This man's chanting Hare Krishna. This man's in Prabhupada's temple. He's so close, so lovingly encourage him to come closer. Don't push him away. So our movement is meant to bring people closer to Krishna. Now, sometimes we have to be a little assertive. You know, the guru is sometimes a little assertive, a little pushy. Sometimes a leader has to be a little pushy with devotees. But we always have to make sure it's done in the mood of love. And then people will be more and more and more attracted. Then our consciousness can really have an effect upon people. Otherwise, we see in the world so many religious communities, they're just fighting. They're fighting for supremacy. So we're not fighting for supremacy, we're fighting for Krishna. Sometimes we have this thought, if we build a temple, it's got to be bigger than anybody else's temple. It's got to be taller than anybody else's temple. It's got to be richer than anybody else's temple. We got to say, we're number one. That's what materialistic people say. We're number one football team. We're number one this, we're number one that. We don't want to be number one in anything except the number one place where you come and you experience love of Krishna. Prabhupada said in Mayapur, when he was building the first big building, Lotus Building, I think, he was sitting in the hut, famous story, most of you know it. He was sitting in the straw hut, and he was saying, this is the mode of goodness where we're living now. This is perfect for cultivating Krishna consciousness. And he pointed to the lotus, he said, that's the mode of passion. But he said, but we use this for Krishna. If we sit here in the straw hut, who will come? No one will come. So we're building this big place, but why? Not so we can say we have the biggest building. I remember a few years ago, the Long Building. They used to say it was the longest building in Bengal. That's why it was called the Long Building. It's got another name, Chakra Building or something. We call it the Long Building. Why? It's the longest building in Bengal. Like, wow, that's really important. But does it have the longest depth of Krishna consciousness? That's the test. So, Prabhupada said in his purport, unless people are trained in Krishna consciousness, there's no question of peace. And sometimes we even find ourselves, we think, oh, peace, this is like a mundane thing, you know, peace, it doesn't matter if people are peaceful. The first purpose of ISKCON, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large, I don't know the exact writing, but they says to correct the imbalance in values in the world, teach people principles of spiritual practice, and thus create real unity and peace in the world. So people ask us sometimes, what's the purpose of your movement? It's not to shake things up. We do that too. There's other references, right? It's a spiritual revolution, right? It's a cultural revolution. We are revolutionaries. But Prabhupada also said, what are we revolutionary? We're revolutionary clean. You know, people, what's your revolution about? It's about cleaning people's hearts. Wow, that's pretty amazing. What's your movement about? It's about creating real unity and peace in the world. Well, how do you do that? By promoting spiritual values. How do you do that? Prabhupada said, by loving everyone. How do you do that? By acting in everyone's interest. Even if the feeling's not there. A story that I heard some time ago, I find very inspiring. In the early, early days, Gargamuni Prabhu, when devotees had not yet been taught how to pay obeisances, and it was just kind of coming in, some devotees were learning to do and were doing so. He went to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, as they called Srila Prabhupada in those days, I don't feel like offering obeisances. Others are doing it, but I don't feel like it. And Prabhupada says, that's okay, you don't feel like it. Just do it, and the feeling will come. Beautiful, isn't it? So we don't always feel like chanting Hare Krishna, but we do it and the feeling comes. We don't always, at least maybe you all do, but I don't. We don't always feel inspired to come to the temple and see the deities, but if we do it, the feeling comes. We don't always feel like serving others, but if we do it, the feeling will come. That's why it's a science. It's not a sentiment. It's not just we tell people, okay, love one another. Okay, great, love one another until some war breaks out and then they hate each other. We say love one another, how? By becoming Krishna conscious, by purifying our hearts, and then the feeling comes. And we have to act on it. Prabhupada said, become Krishna conscious and share Krishna consciousness with others. We have a very, very sacred task. In the Gita, Krishna says, there's no one more dear to me than one who shares this knowledge and teaches others about Krishna consciousness. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a few places, Krishna says that one who's dear to me is a kind friend to all living entities. That's like quite a big thing to aspire for, to be a kind friend to everyone. He doesn't say one who's a kind friend to the Prabhupada disciples. You know, Prabhupada disciple comes, we give you a nice pillow to sit on, the rest of you sit out in the cold. Krishna doesn't say one who's a kind friend to his Guru Maharaj, enthusiastic to render service to him, but step on a few people in your enthusiasm to get there. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say one who serves a senior person and ignores the younger persons. So we have to be very careful. In order to love others, we have to give up the bodily concept of life. And isn't that what Krishna consciousness is all about? You know, it describes in the Shastra that we have to see beyond that. So it can't be that we think, and this is the nature of the world, the nature of this world is people think, okay, I have a white body, so I'm white. I don't care so much about black people. It's good if they help themselves, but I don't really care because I'm white. Or someone thinks, I'm Gujarati. I don't really care about Bengalis. I mean, you know, it's okay if they do well, but I mean, you don't expect me to really. I mean, they're Bengalis, right? Or if one thinks, well, I'm Hindu, right? I'm Hindu. I don't care about Muslims. I don't care about Christians, because I'm Hindu. Or one thinks, I'm Indian. I don't care about foreigners. Or one thinks, I'm a foreigner. I don't care about Indians. Or one thinks that I'm a man. Why should I care about women? Or I'm a brahmachari. The last thing I care about is women. But if we think we're a brahmachari, we're in the bodily concept of life. We're serving in the brahmachari ashram to learn I'm not the body. So if while I'm a brahmachari, I'm acting like I'm the body, right? Lord Chaitanya, what did he say? He didn't say, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a brahmana, I'm a high caste person, get out of my way. He said, I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a chatri, I'm not a shudra, a vaishya, I'm not a sannyasi. I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So who are those servants of the servants of the servants of the servants? Those are like all the conditioned souls in the material world that forgot who they are. Those are those people Prabhupada crossed the ocean to deliver. Those are those people Prabhupada sent his disciples to London to deliver. Those are those people Prabhupada came back to India where he says they basically rejected his movement. At first he tried. Nobody was interested, but he came back out of his compassion. So as devotees, we have to get rid of this maya of thinking, I'm white, I care more for white people, or I'm an American, I care for Americans. I mean, that's the way Donald Trump thinks. Let us not be followers of such mundane people. Bali concept of life, to think I'm Gujarati, I don't care about Bengalis, etc. So as Vaishnavas, we're meant to learn to love everyone and to be humble, knowing that only by the grace of Krishna am I able to serve him. And if I really, really want to serve him, I mean, there's so many verses. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, what's he say? He's not my devotee. Let's think about that for a minute. One who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. So someone asks you, you Krishna's devotee? Yeah. No, you're not. You blew it. Sorry, you got that one wrong. Who are you? I'm the devotee of the devotees. Well, who's the devotees? Every living being. Now, some are more acting on it. But Krishna, Lord Chaitanya especially, he came to save those who are not acting as devotees. He came to deliver the fallen, the forgetful. He came to get us. And all he asks is be a little grateful and help those people coming up behind you. That's all he asks, according to our capacity. Prabhupada said, again, famous instructions, we should feel the debt we owe our spiritual master, spiritual masters, the Oparampara. And so many siksha gurus that help us in so many ways, that debt we feel we owe to our guru, we should think, how can I, I want to repay this. But we should understand it's not possible to repay. It's such a great gift. But he says we should try. He said you should try to do that. He said preach vigorously just as I'm doing. Teach others vigorously. Set an example. Care for others. Again, not just preach, smash people over the head. It's interesting now, we're so lucky, there's so many biographies of Prabhupada. Sometimes devotees now, they'll say to me, I was, you know, came to ISKCON in 75, so not so much direct association with Prabhupada, very little. You can learn and hear more about Prabhupada now than almost everybody did who was physically with Prabhupada. So outside of a few people that traveled as his servants, you'd be in one city, he'd come for a few days, and then he'd be gone. Physically, be someplace else. Now you all can go back and you can read 5, 10, 20, I don't know how many biographies there are of Prabhupada all around the world, and you can learn so many different people's perspectives. So some people talk about, you read is like Prabhupada, like smash, smash, smash. Don't just stop with that book. There's other books. If you read, say, Gurudas Prabhu, who was here in Vrindavan, right? I don't forget the name of his book. His experience with Prabhupada is they just told jokes to each other. Every time he walked in the room, he told a joke to Prabhupada. Prabhupada laughed, tell him a joke. You know, other people, Prabhupada, so many different relationships with Prabhupada. But the underlying thing was they all felt loved by him. They all felt he was trying to help them. They knew that he was trying to help them. There's one video we have. There was we had a conference at Harvard University in 2016. About 50 years of the Krishna consciousness movement spread around the world. And there's one scholar, Thomas Hopkins, who met Prabhupada, and he's interviewed in this video. If you haven't seen it, I think you can find it on ISKCON News about Harvest. Just a 15-minute video. It's produced by Krishna Leela Dasi, who's a real preeminent filmmaker within ISKCON. She also produced the Joy of Devotion film, beautiful one-hour film. But in this video, Tom Hopkins, he's talking about how in the earliest days he was so shocked because these followers of Prabhupada, they didn't know anything. They didn't know who Bhaktivinoda Thakur was. They practically didn't know who Lord Chaitanya was. But they were so empowered and inspired by Prabhupada. And he makes this amazing statement. This man is a professor, retired, of the history of religions. And he says, when we study Prabhupada, he said, practically there's no comparison in the world. We shouldn't be proud by this. We should be humbled by this, that we have an opportunity to assist this great acharya. He says the only two people in the history of the world you can compare Prabhupada to are Jesus and Muhammad. And he says, actually, you can't even make that comparison, because Jesus was preaching in his own culture. And he had people of his own age helping him. And Muhammad also, he had his family help, and he was teaching his own culture. He said, Prabhupada crossed the ocean. Different culture, different language, nobody to help him. No family, no friends, and he was 70 years of age. And then he says, and how are things going? this historian of religion. He says, well, compared to those two religious communities, he says, after 50 years, they were really in trouble. I'm not a historian. I don't know what he was referring to. But he said, ISKCON's doing at least as well as those communities. And then he said, and how will it turn out? He said, well, that remains to be seen. And he ends his talk, he says, Haribo, to everybody there, because he's been studying ISKCON for many, many years. So it's up to us how the story turns out. Prabhupada said this movement cannot be stopped from outside. But he said it could be stopped from the inside. And we should kind of think like that. I can't be stopped from the outside, but I can be stopped in the inside. If I'm not seriously taking up this process of purifying my heart, then I could be an obstacle. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, one of his wonderful teachings that he gave us, he said that our teaching, our preaching, we should think we're trying to remove the obstacles between a soul and Krishna. Everyone has different obstacles. Someone, it may be a philosophical point. Someone, maybe a cultural thing. Someone, they, you know, the idea of God being a person. I met a young woman recently. I was in Denver, Colorado. I gave this Sunday talk and went up, spoke to this one young woman, maybe 25, 30, and she was really enthusiastic. She asked a couple questions, and I went up and I asked her, I said, have you been coming here often? I hadn't been there in years and years. I said, you come or off? She said, I come every week. I said, really, why do you come? She said, I'm addicted to kirtan. I said, wow, that's wonderful. And I started to tell her about, well, you know, it's not different from Krishna's name. She said, no, I don't believe in Krishna. I said, what? It's a true story. This happened a month ago. She said, I don't believe in Krishna. She said, but I'm addicted to chanting. And then I realized, you know, who am I to judge this lady? She comes every week and loves to chant. So she's got some issue. Krishna's God. He's a person. You know, I don't, she doesn't like flutes or something. She plays trombone. I don't know what it is. She doesn't like Krishna. But she loves kirtan. So is it for me to judge? Maybe I love Krishna, but I don't like kirtan. Maybe, you know. Maybe I love the deity, but I'm not so much into the 24-hour kirtan. Or maybe I love Bhagavad Gita, but I don't like this or I don't like that. That's not for us to decide. We are meant to, every single person out there in the world or comes here, our goal is to help them come a little closer to Krishna. So this section of the Bhagavatam nicely contrasts this non-devotee or demoniac type of mentality with what it means to be a devotee. So we're in the most holiest of holy places, Sri Vrindavan Dham, in front of such beautiful, beautiful deities who are giving so much mercy, and in the association of devotees and chanting Krishna's name, the most powerful, potent, and beautiful way of approaching the Lord. So we should try to pray to let us all come to the stage of loving everyone. Not necessarily the feeling's always there, but we can act as if we do. And the feeling will come to care for others. And not just to think, okay, I care for your soul, but I don't care if your body's falling apart. It's a package deal. You know, Prabhupada would sign his letters, and Prabhupada was very concerned about devotee's health. I'll end with one story. When Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan once, they were sitting outside at night. He was giving a class. Kaladri Prabhu, who was the temple president, it tells this story, and others. Prabhupada was giving a little darshan, and there was one of the ladies was sitting to the side, and Prabhupada noticed that she was shivering. So Prabhupada didn't say anything to her. He said something to the temple president. He said, she's cold, you should arrange something for her. He said, she is a Vaishnava. She will not ask. But you're the president, you have to make sure her needs are taken care of. So in Prabhupada says, we've learned to love everyone. It doesn't just mean, you know, I give you a set of beads, or I give you a mantra, or I give you a little prasadam. I mean, those are wonderful things, or I give you a book. That's huge. That's our three angas of our movement is books and prasad and kirtan. At the same time, we have to be careful because we have to make sure we take care of people's emotional needs, physical needs, all those things. Those little things are there. It's a package. So here this is explained, devotee mentality. We should pray we can awaken this mentality, that Krishna will awaken this mentality in us, to not be concerned with ourselves, to not exploit others, to not think or act in a lusty way or demeaning way or a greedy way or an envious way with others, But as Prabhupada said, to learn to love all by humbly, without judging, this person's in this type of body, that type of body. The body's just a car. Krishna could care less about the car. He cares about the soul. So similarly, we should care less about the body in terms of any discrimination between us, amongst us, with other people. Care for the body in terms of making sure, helping people, whatever capacity we have, to be healthy and happy so they can come to Krishna. But not discriminating against anyone on the basis of their body. And just helping everyone as a servant. Please, how can I help you come to Krishna? Praying to Krishna, let me see everyone as your part and parcel. Let me see everyone as your servant. Let me understand that if I'm your servant, as Lord Chaitanya taught, I'm the servant of all the servants. Let me live and act in that way. And when we manifest this, when people walk in the door, their hearts will melt. We're so anxious to spread our movement. Sociologists have done a lot of studies about why people join religious communities. And they can cite many, many studies that people will say, I joined this religious community because of the philosophy, because of the belief system. But usually people don't even know what the philosophy, the belief system is when they first get involved. The real reason that people get involved in different spiritual communities or religious communities, I'll wait for the last bell. The real reason is because of the relationships with the people. Because they feel cared for and they feel loved. They'll learn the philosophy as time goes, but the thing that really makes a difference when people feel this community of people, they really care about me. Inspired, of course, by our Krishna consciousness. So let's create that kind of a community. That's what Prabhupada created. That's what he wants us to do. It's our duty to carry it on. And when we do, as Prabhupada said, I love this quote, I'll end with this quote. Prabhupada said, just become Krishna conscious and enjoy life with a thrill at every moment. That's the instruction of our guru, right? That's a pretty great instruction from the guru. Just become Krishna conscious and enjoy life with a thrill at every moment. Krishna consciousness is joyful and thrilling, and that's what's waiting for us. So let's take advantage. Is there time for a question or two? Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. I guess we have a mic here, huh? It's on, but just speak louder.
The question is, this is about assertiveness.
It's about?
Assertiveness.
Assertiveness.
The thing is, in the corporate world, it becomes very easy to live into assertiveness because people are somehow willing to meet their own PRAs, the PSK, and so on and so forth. But in a voluntary organization, if you start, if you try to implement assertiveness, where it's more of a voluntary type of service, it becomes very difficult to get the work done. So, how do we?
Well, right here, famous story, Prabhupada, in his last few days, he, in the middle of one night, asked for Giriraj Swami to come and see him. And he was very weak, and Maharaj came in and kind of, you can read it, I think it's in Lilamrita, Maharaj definitely talks about it a few times in some of his books, for sure. He came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very weak. Prabhupada didn't speak at first, and then Prabhupada asked him, will it go on? You know, he's getting ready to leave this world. Will it go on? And I don't remember, some of you may, Maharaj responded something like, yes, Prabhupada, if we remain sincere, if we chant, if we follow your instructions, something along that line. And Prabhupada kind of went, like, yes. And he didn't say anything else. And then I think Maharaj, after a few moments, Prabhupada spoke, or maybe Maharaj even started to get up and leave. And Prabhupada said, intelligence and organization. And we know years before that, many places Prabhupada said he wanted to combine the best of the East and the best of the West. And I think these days you could say East and West are kind of, those lines are merging. So I think what Prabhupada to a certain extent was saying, the best of tradition and the best of modernity. So there's business practices that we can learn from, should learn from. Prabhupada also said, he said, my movement is Indian, but my management is American. Similar thing. So we should be enthusiastic because we know everything comes from Krishna. Whatever is good and uplifting in this world, especially things in the mode of goodness that bring us closer to Krishna. We should use all those things. So business practices that help us, you know, if we're planning how to expand our movement in strategic ways, if we're, you know, looking how to, you know, like they talk about marketing, how do we figure what attracts people to Krishna? We should think like that. We shouldn't put those things aside. And assertiveness is fine, but assertiveness can become aggression. And I haven't worked for 40 years outside the movement, from what I hear. In the corporate world, oftentimes assertiveness becomes aggression, and it becomes, like they say, dog-eat-dog world. You know, I step on your head to get to the top. In Krishna consciousness, please, I also want you to get to the top. Please step on my head to get there. If I can help you work up, then let me do that. And see, that's a whole different worldview. And that can change the world. It can change the world. But people don't have faith in it. We have to have faith in it. If I serve others, if I help others, actually that pleases Krishna. And he'll make everything work. So, just as, you know, example comes to my mind, Prabhupada says, like, when he was a young boy, sometimes children need to be, corrected. And he said Prabhupada's father would tell him, please forgive me, I have to correct you now. But even Mahaprabhu's father would sometimes correct him. So it can be done in a mood of love. Again, parenting skills, you know, and I don't know that much about parenting skills, but you can learn how to, you can correct and your child in a way that they feel loved. Or you can correct your child because you're angry. That's not the way to raise a child. I'm angry, I take it out of my child. No, that's Maya. That's Maya. Sometimes we see, you touched a hot point for me. If we're family members, our family should be the best protected, the most loved, the most facilitated people. Sometimes we think, you know, like we talk about protecting women. What does it mean to protect a woman? It means you help her progress as quickly and as solidly and as happily in her Christian consciousness as possible. Not that I have a wife and I push her down, I'm supposed to protect her, or I'm threatened by her. You know, oh, what if she gets like more prestige than I get? What if people think she's advanced? They'll think less of me. That's Maya. Or if I'm a godbrother of somebody in an ashram, you know, so many temples now, we have big, big temples full of brahmacharis. They should be rushing around trying to help each other make more advancement. So in this business model tends to be the high pressure, and some people win, some people lose. Krishna consciousness is not like that. We want everybody to win. It's a win-win scenario. Now, we need to learn better how to manage in efficient ways. I know there's a lot of work going on in this temple to help that happen. We shouldn't think, well, management is mundane. Why is management mundane? It's for Krishna. Prabhupada managed like crazy. Prabhupada spent so much time managing. You look at all the energy Prabhupada put into writing his books. He put in a lot of time into creating ISKCON, managing ISKCON, dealing with problems, dealing with money, dealing with disciples that stole property. He got involved in legal battles and so many things. So when anybody thinks, oh, we're not supposed to manage, it's like you're not studying our founder Acharya. He was so good at all those things. So be assertive with love. Manage with love. Care for your family with love. Genuine desire to help them make progress. Act in that way. And that way we bring the two things together. Is that okay? One more question? Anything from the ladies' side? Okay, we'll go here.
What is the single most factor that attracted you to this moment?
That's not on the point of the lecture. What is the thing that attracted me most to this movement?
Because you
the fact that we're supposed to learn to love everyone. Nobody else taught me that. We're supposed to love everyone, and there's a way to do it. I went to a temple when I was a university student in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the devotees told me, Krishna's the person everyone's looking for. I thought, wow, that's really cool. And then I remember I moved into a temple the first time, and actually, I was still visiting, and I went down to have, you know, they said, come on down and have eat. And I had prasad. I'd been to temples a few times before. But I sat down for lunch, and this devotee sat down and told me about how just eating this food, you become spiritually purified. And using again the language of my era, I thought, that's really cool. And then they said, you should go wash your hands. So they sent me into the men's bathroom to wash my hands. And there was a devotee. I'd never seen a man in a gumsha before. There was a devotee on his hands and knees in a gumsha, cleaning the floor with a bucket and a brush. And he said, in Krishna consciousness, you clean the toilets and you become spiritual. I thought, this is really too cool. This is a special place. And then I made a promise to myself. I said, Krishna, this is an early, Rama, Jehovah, Allah, Adon, whoever you are, I don't know who you are, but I know enough from the different teachers you've helped me come across that the purpose of life is trying to find you. But I don't know how, I don't know where, but I'm in this Hare Krishna temple, and I'm going to stay here and try, by your kindness, to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back to college, and I'm not going back to my girlfriend, I'm not going back to my family. Of course, later, you know, I'm in a grahastha, and we all should have connections with our families, that's important, etc. But I'm not going to go back to any of these things for the purpose of enjoying material life, unless I find I reach the end of this. You know, like if it comes to a point, there's not enough, there's no more answers, or something's, you know, and otherwise I'm going to stay, I'm not going the other way. And everything else I tried out, after a few weeks, a few months, you reach a point, you ask a question, they go, that's a good question, we don't know. Or how do I overcome this problem? We don't know. But in our Vaishnava philosophy, by Krishna's grace and Prabhupada's grace, it's unlimitedly deep. You just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So by your prayers, I hope I can keep going deeper in my Krishna consciousness. Let us all go deeper in our Krishna consciousness, and let us learn to love everybody and help bring them to Krishna consciousness. Okay? So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.